I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr, and my guest is Ken Druck. He is a wonderful author among many books. He has written one called How We Go On. And Ken, my question for you is, how do we go on knowing that there is going to be more turmoil? There's always going to be more conflict. There's going to be another devastating event that happens, another shooting. How do we go on knowing that it's not going to end?
Well, I think there are a couple of things we do. You know, first of all, we realize that it's a challenging time to be alive. And the stress, the cumulative stress of the fact that we live in a world that's so closely connected. If something bad happens anywhere in the world, guess what? You're going to find out about it. You could find out about it instantly. You could go online right now or turn on the radio, turn on the television, and you're going to find out. So we are often assaulted by bad news, and each of us has a responsibility of self-care. I wrote a booklet called the Self-Care Handbook, and part of it says that we need to take honest responsibility for ourselves. We can't just simply blindly overload with bad news. So the first thing is to make sure you're not overloading. The second thing is to understand, yes, that we live in a world where in any given moment there's more suffering and more joy than we can imagine. There are more people dancing, celebrating, experiencing a miracle, falling in love, you know, finding the person of their dreams, celebrating that the person of their dreams has joy, had a child, or has gotten married, or has gotten the job of their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more joy, and there's more opportunity for joy in our own lives. There are good things happening in all of our lives if we pay attention to them. So I think we have to balance all of it out. We have to maintain the perspective that there's more suffering. Sure. If you think about what's happening around the world, there are people, you know, at risk. There are people whose lives are at risk. We have the situation going on in Ukraine, ongoing. It's like, oh my God, is that really happening?
Yes.
Are there people who really are living with missiles coming in who don't know whose country is being taken over, as what's happening in the Middle East, is that real? Could terrorists have honestly done what they did in Israel?
Yeah.
When you think about it, I've been working with kids and with some of the kibbutzes. I've got gotten called to help out, and I've never experienced in my life's work the horrors of what happened on the 6th of October. It is unimaginable and unspeakable, some of it.
Yes.
So how do people go on? How do you just, continue on in life? There's a period of, where the shock begins to wear off and the reality sets in. How do we go on? How do we just continue living? Well, there's something I call the seven honorings. There are seven things that we can do to honor the people that we've lost and the horrors that we've been through. And it's really a program for self-care and survival. And that's part of the new book is really looking at what do we do? My God, how do we overcome? And some of us are going through relationship breakups. Our hearts are breaking, but it's because somebody we love, somebody we invested so much energy and time and heart with, it hasn't worked out. And we're trying to figure out, how am I going to go on from this when my heart is in such sorrow, when I feel so much heaviness? Well, it's possible. And for me, it was, understanding, am I going to make my pain and my fear the central organizing principle of my life? Or am I going to make my love and my belief that I can turn the lemon into lemonade, I can turn this fear and this pain back into good things, I can write new chapters of life, I can make new memories, I can keep my heart open. That's my work right now. Keep my heart open and keep doing the things that are helping me heal, rather than having my foot on my throat, rather than surrounding myself with people who just kind of bring me down, rather than surrounding myself with only bad news, or news that kind of drains me or drags me downward. So there are things we can do and that we must do, because there are wonderful new chapters of life awaiting us if we give it a chance.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should
start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it?
We give it a chance.
You know how the law of attraction or acting as if or any visualization, all of these things, these techniques that our community talks so much about in the personal development community of seeing yourself or the other person as whole and complete. We were talking a little bit about this before. And is that something that you can do even in the midst of all the chaos, that you can see it as whole and complete, chunking up to the highest order, knowing that there might be joy somewhere within it?
I think in the beginning, the answer is no.
Okay.
In the beginning, you know, I had a dear friend of mine who was one of the authors of the biggest book on, you know, on this kind of positive thinking and the law of attraction work. And this person had called me and said, please call me back. I had just left working with a family. Their daughter had been missing. She'd been kidnapped and she had been raped and murdered. And I had just come from the funeral home where they came to see her body for the first time. And I got in the car and my heart was just breaking for them. Even though it was very beautiful what they said to her and what they did and the time they spent with her, and what they felt they needed to do going forward. But I got into the car and called my friend back, and on his answering machine, it was, you know, remember, it's your choice to have a nice day. And I was thinking, yeah, I'm gonna call these parents and tell them, you know, it's your choice to have a nice day. Your daughter was just murdered, you know, but it's your choice. No, it's not a choice. It's choiceless. They're going to feel trauma. They're going to feel sorrow. They're going to feel anger. They're going to go through this horrific dark night of the soul moment. So I think sometimes we feel like we can positive think people who have just suffered an extreme loss and who are traumatized and who are just need, they just need somebody to be with them, not to figure them out or fix them or to try to take away their pain or to try to restore their hope. They need somebody to just be with them, to stand with them, to sit with them, to listen to them, to show them love, to take some of the burden off of they're trying to function. They're trying to function because all the wind has been taken out of their sails. So I think in the beginning, we just need to be patient and loving and realize that they're going to need us for a time, not just simply, you know, oh, I'll go to the funeral or I'll go to, you know, they're going to, then I'll get impatient with them. When are they going to get over it? It's more of a just walking with somebody, encouraging them, but lightly, being with and listening to them and helping them think about what their options are. And I think then at some point, Lisa, at some point, telling people that I have every faith that you're going to summon, and the word summon here is the critical word. You are going to somehow find the strength, summon the newfound strength, the courage, the ability, the willingness to go on and to make whatever time you have remaining, to fill it with meaning, to fill it with a sense of purpose. And you could even write, you know, this is the point at which, why is my book doing so well? Because so many people are giving it as a gift to somebody who's going through this. We sent hundreds of copies to the Middle East, you know, but it's it's okay to get help and to get guidance and support. As a matter of fact, it's essential for us to all have at least one trusted confidant, somebody who we can really talk with. They're not going to try to figure us out and fix us.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to listen. They're going to walk with us. They're going to listen to us, to what we say, and they're going to take support from us that they have asked for, not unsolicited advice, not putting a big spiritual spin on something or a big mm-hmm. psychological spin on something. You know, they don't need our opinions and us telling them what to feel and what to do. They need our us being there as a healing presence, listening and caring and offering up support and saying, hey, you know, I was thinking, could I bring over, you know, dinner? Would that be a good thing? Would that be helpful this week? Or I was thinking, you know, could I pick up your kids, you know, or take the kids out? Or, you know, just offering concrete solutions. And they'll tell you.
Right.
They'll tell you.
If you could offer. I was reading the beginning of your book about the chapters. You say, how do we learn during our teen years? And I read that specifically about how do we learn with our first losses, loss of a pet or loss of maybe a grandparent or something. And how are we, the skills that we learn at the very earliest onset of managing loss. A lot of people around us say, oh, it's okay. You're going to be okay. And,
yeah.
And it is actually counterproductive.
It is.
And I don't remember my first.
And as we go on, I talk about the do's and don'ts of supporting somebody who has suffered a loss or a setback. And that do and don't list, you're starting it off beautifully. It's like what to do not come up with a cliche. Mm-hmm. You know, I had people telling me the first week after my daughter died, oh, don't worry, she's in a better place. No, her place is here with me.
Right.
I don't want to hear that.
That's the best place. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear that. Or, you know, the glass is half full. People ask me often, they'll say, do you have another daughter?
Oh.
It's like, please don't say something like that to me. You know, it's like, how many kids do you have? You know, and it's not the time that I want to think, oh my God, I have another one at home. Why am I so sad?
Oh, God.
You know?
Right.
So sometimes we don't act as very grief literate, compassionate, sensitive, or aware people. And we need to go to that do's and don't list and say, maybe the way that I would handle this if it were me isn't the best way to handle this. And if we're willing to be, you know, all of us are a work in progress. We're all learning. We're all growing. I learn something every day about how to turn the kindness I'm learning to show to myself, how to show that kindness to somebody else. If I'm learning how to take better care of myself, how do I show that care to somebody else? When we do it with ourselves, you know, we're more inclined to do it with other people. How do we show up for other people? As we learn to show up for ourselves. And so there's so much for all of us to learn, making every day an opportunity to learn something new. I start my day with a kind of morning walk, and I always have a couple of questions with me that I ask every morning when I walk. Mm. I'll say, what's weighing most heavily today? What's weighing most heavily on my heart? And then I'll ask myself, okay, now that you answered that, what is making your heart sing today? What is happening in your life today that you're looking forward to that really is makes you happy, that gives you a sense of passion for what you're doing in your life? And then I might ask myself, what am I feeling most grateful for?
Mm-hmm.
Or what promise would I be willing to make to myself today? What promise, what good thing can I promise I will do for myself today? So I think we have to set our own self-care, our own kindness, our own compassion meters. We have to set them right
in the beginning of the day rather than, oh, my God, what do I got to do today, you know?
Right.
And watch our attitude. Watch the way we talk to ourselves and the way we treat ourselves. And when we do that, it really sets us up to cope with even the heaviest, most burdensome things that we're worried about, that we're scared are going to happen or not happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then did finding meaning, not meaning, but a purpose in life help you move on or go forward from the grief? Not that the grief ever goes away, right? It doesn't, does it?
The grief, you know, people ask me, Ken, does it ever get better? Especially people who just suffered a loss, and they're saying, am I going to go through this every day for the rest of my life? And I say, you know what? It doesn't get better. It gets different.
Mm-hmm.
It gets different because, you know, it's kind of like you and I have something in common with having what we've gone through, you know, your accident and what you had to recover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people said, Lisa, how are you doing after your accident? And, you know, recovering your sense of health and wholeness and clarity and the way you're able to function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know what? Every day is different, and there are actually some things about what's happened to me that I've managed to turn into seeing what's good and what's beautiful and appreciating my ability to heal, you know, and what I need, what I can be grateful for, and what I'm now so much more aware of. So how we look at what's happened to us, how we frame it. We lock ourselves down into feeling like a victim, and really, when we're getting seduced into hopelessness or despair or anger or indifference to the pain of other people, you know, do we seduce ourselves into that state of mind and state of heart, or do we give ourselves messages of encouragement and gratitude and say, you know what, there are some things that I can look at today and be grateful for? And for me, finding meaning, you know, after my daughter died, I started a nonprofit foundation. One of the seven honorings that I talked about earlier is do something good in their name.
Mm, that is, yes, very...
That's the way, it's a path of honor.
Mm-hmm.
You first of all, you survive their death. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you do something good in their name. Third of all, you begin to create a spiritual relationship with them because there's a love that never dies.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.